Last night was an all-night session of the lame duck legislature. It sent a lot more bills to the governor, and here to talk about some of those are our Friday commentators. Gilda Jacobs is president and CEO of the Michigan League for Public Policy and a former Democratic member of the Senate. And Ken Sikkema is senior policy fellow at Public Sector Consultants and a former Republican majority in the Michigan Senate. A couple of our reporters were up all night keeping up with the action, so I'm guessing you two sat by your computers all night to catch it?
No, but I had a staff person doing it, so it was sending me notes all morning long. Are you crazy,
Lester?
No, I slept. I'm just thinking, you know, you guys will be interested. All right, let's talk about what's going on. Gilda, I want to ask you, what bill in this lame duck session is one you've been watching closely?
Oh, boy. Well, two of the bills that we were watching very closely, the governor already signed. So those are the minimum wage and earned sick time. You know, obviously, we were concerned about the supplemental. There were some pretty decent things, quite honestly, that were in the supplemental. Although the Michigan enhancement grants, you know, we would kind of consider some pork bills that got passed.
Before we go too far, why don't you explain real briefly for those of us who don't know exactly what a supplemental is?
So a supplemental budget can be either a positive or a negative one. If there's extra money or not as much money at the end of the year, that can then be distributed kind of into different pots or different projects. So this time around, there was more money for some of the PFAS response. They increased the homeless shelter per diem, increased wages for direct care workers, which was really a big deal for the people that we advocate for. Some funding for the upcoming census, which is, again, super important in terms of how we get money back from the feds. But, you know, on the other hand, there was some shifting around of some funds that we were not happy about. You know, there's sort of a new pot of money through being able to tax internet sales in Michigan, and that money in part should be going to education, and some of that money got diverted into roads and less money into education. That's the kind of stuff that we really don't like seeing, because clearly you don't want to pit roads against education. It's the both and. You need to do both in our state if we really want to continue to move forward.
Ken, what have you been watching?
A couple of bills. One is a bill already on the governor's desk that would basically defer to federal rules, particularly when it comes to environmental protection. At least it would make it tougher for the state to adopt its own rules that are tougher than federal rules. And then the bill that died in the House, which would have taken the authority away from the Secretary of State when it comes to regulating campaign finance.
I want to ask you on that bill you're talking about, what they call the no stricter than federal. Is that something you want the governor to sign or veto?
I think he ought to veto it in a New York minute.
Yeah, and I agree with Ken on that as well.
The irony is it's a complete reversal of Republican philosophy that says states should have more authority to do what they want and not defer to the federal government. So I think it ought to be vetoed without much hesitation.
Gilda, what would you urge the governor to sign or veto?
Well, we're not happy with, there's a bill that would give lawmakers power over the attorney general. Just from a Democratic standpoint, small d, we really feel this is really kind of anti-democratic. I mean, the people spoke and they, you know, elected the attorney general, and we kind of see this as kind of an overreach. So we would not like to see that passed. Some of the other bills that we're watching are not going to make it to the governor's desk. So that's good. You know, at this point, when there are 400 bills that are going to the governor to sign, and they're it's really not a lot of time to wade through all of them to really see if they're going to be good or bad.
Yeah, I checked on that 400 number. It's actually a little less than it, about 280, but it's still a lot of bills.
Still a lot.
You know, Lester, can I make a comment?
Sure.
Because I think one of the interesting things to me is that some of the really controversial bills or ideas never got to the governor's desk. They died. One I already mentioned that would strip the Secretary of State's authority to regulate campaign finance. Passed the Senate, died in the House. There was a bill that would allow a couple of departing senators to basically transfer some House Senate money to their old House campaign and then pay themselves back. And basically, it would benefit two senators. That passed the Senate, died in the House. There's a wetlands bill that was heavily amended and originally would have exempted thousands of wetlands from environmental protection, and that exemption was actually stripped out of the bill. So there are some of the more controversial bills that really, to the legislature's credit, never got to the governor's desk.
I want to ask you about the process here because, you know, one of the – I heard on the – well, gosh, I guess it was Shana Roth on Michigan Radio talking about this bill that basically came in one way and then it was just chocked full of all kinds of pork to the point where the legislator felt like he had to make a statement that I won't even support my own bill as it's written now. Is that typical in lame duck?
Let's just say it's not unusual, you know, especially for people that – may not be coming back again. You know, they really want to see certain things go to their district, or you know, feel like they've done things for their district on their retirement.
You know, Zach Gorchow with Gongwer News Service noted in a blog that he wrote that in the Senate, 37 of the 38 members, as a result of term limits, will never again face the voters for the seats they now hold. In the House, 67 of the 110 members will never again face the voters for the seats they now hold. So he concludes that with term limits, lame duck has the opportunity for large numbers of legislators with pet bills that they desperately want passed before they return to private life and have no worries about having to answer for those bills and votes by the voters. What do you think, considering that kind of controversy, is lame duck useful or should the legislature consider ending lame duck sessions altogether? Gilda?
You know, it's interesting. Under Governor Snyder, budget bills were the budget was passed, you know, by the summertime. There are ways to get things done before lame duck if you really want to do them. You know, remember, we do have a year-round legislature, unlike many other states. You know, that being said, if bills are really good, they shouldn't be rushed through at the end. There really, as I said, there really is plenty of time to do this. You know, on the other hand, you know, Zach brings up really an important point, because even for the governor, as well as the sitting legislators, you know, at the end, you don't really have to listen to your caucus anymore. You can kind of listen to yourself and your heart and, you know, perhaps have a little bit more spine in your, you know, in your voting than you may have had in years past on both sides, you know, of the aisle. So, you know, sometimes there's that kind of reckoning that people have, you know, at the end to maybe vote a little differently than they would have had when they were dependent to be strong members of their caucus.
Ken, are lame duck sessions really valuable or really hazardous?
Well, I think this lack of accountability argument is somewhat exaggerated because, although it's true, a lot of them are not facing an election in the near future. Their mindset is that they might run again for something. So I think it's just, you know, this sense of, well, they don't feel accountable, so it's Kelly bar the door in lame duck is a little exaggerated. I think lame duck session can be useful to get difficult things done, but I think what's happened in an era of term limits and where political DNA has just changed and become more polarized and more power oriented, it's now subject to a lot more abuses than in the past.
Yeah, and I would agree with Ken. And quite honestly, when you are pulling an all-nighter and you are working through 8 o'clock, you know, the next morning, you really don't even know what you're voting on at that point, because really everybody is pretty sleep deprived. So, you know, things get into bills that may not necessarily be all good, and then you got to go back and try to make corrections later on.
Yeah, well, there'll be none of that for this session of the legislature. They'll have to look to the next session to fix whatever they did wrong,
right?
I suppose. Ken Sikkema is a former Republican legislator. Gilda Jacobs is a former Democratic legislator. Gilda, thanks so much for filling in for Vicki Barnett for the last month. We've really appreciated having you here.
Anytime. Thank you.
Thank you both.
Thanks, Lester.